You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, guys? Welcome to our special roundtable Trade-a-Palooza featuring just one expert today. We were supposed to have three, and hopefully we'll have those guys on soon. But we're going to start off with a good friend, a guy that I've had on here probably three or four times, and I even shared a beer with at a game against the Pelicans a few weeks ago. I'm not sure that Philip would have a beer because he was working. He had his nice button-down on, but I enjoyed a libation myself. On today's episode with Mr. Philip, we're going to be discussing how the salary cap will affect the trade line, some of the biggest buyers and sellers on the market, some of the hottest names, and what it'll take specifically to get them. And obviously, specifically, we're going to focus on some of the Magic guys, but we'll look at the league as a whole as well. And I've already mentioned that his name is Philip Rossman Reich. In case you don't know who he is, you can follow him at Phil R Squared. He is the host to Locked On Magic and the site editor and expert at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Philip, you've been under the weather lately. How you feeling, man?
I woke up this morning feeling significantly better, just overall feeling better so I can function. But, I'm definitely not 100% yet. So excuse me if I have to cough off to the side a little bit.
Oh, no problem at all. And you actually sound terrific. I was telling you this off the air. You've got a really good voice for this. And other than the occasional cough or two, I don't think anybody would notice if you didn't bring it to light. Let's get into this. Let's talk some Magic because this is a very exciting time of year. I know the Magic haven't enjoyed the most famous of years. They started 8-4, but now they've hit rock bottom at 14-33. They lost to the Knicks recently. They're now tied with them for the worst record in the NBA. But like I said, there's some excitement because you get a lot of that trade chatter. You get a lot of interest from fans. And national media types were tying Aaron Gordon to the Cavaliers. It's very exciting to be part of the national spotlight. And you guys do have a lot of players that teams are interested. Jeff Weltman said it himself. John Hammond said they're open to anything that'll improve the long-term future. Like I said, you sustained some injuries to guys like Terrence Ross, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, and now Nikola Vucevic. And who's to say how the season might have gone if those guys might have been healthy? Who's to say what the Magic team would have looked like? Tell us about what specifically has gone wrong this season, injuries and whatever else for the Magic that could make them sellers this year at the deadline.
Well, it's probably easier to list the things that have gone right for this team so far this year. I mean, you don't enter the season with not playoff expectations. I don't think the Magic, probably thought in the best case scenario this was a playoff team, but you don't enter the season with even middling expectations like the Magic had this year and end up with the worst record in the league or tied for the worst record in the league with the Kings and Hawks and not have a lot of things go wrong. Injury is definitely a big part of it, but really a lot of it's just been a kind of lack of maturation. This is just a very young team with a very young core that has really only experienced losing in their careers. And I think what the Magic are seeing happen play out this year is a team that's full of veterans that have never won before. And I think that kind of the scars of years past, the team started 19-13 in 2016 and lost. The team came into last year with high expectations and the bottom just completely fell out from under them. This is a team that has not experienced a lot of success. And so when things go south, they seem to stumble off of a cliff, and that's exactly what's happened this year. And so the Magic are, new management for sure, coming in, looking to put their own imprint on this roster. Everyone senses it's kind of the end of the road for a lot of these players or this core specifically. And it's probably time to flip things over and start anew.
Yeah, and the general sentiment around the NBA has been, although, like you said, these guys are open to trades, open to long-term health of the franchise in whatever capacity that might mean. But the national sentiment right now is that it's going to be a quieter deadline than in years past just because teams are unwilling to take on long-term salary. And when I think of long-term salary, I think of somebody like an Evan Fournier who's got 2 to 3 years left on his deal. You do have players like Vucevic who broke his wrist, so he's not available to be traded as of yet, and Terrence Ross, who's still out for the foreseeable future. But you do have Mario Hezonja and Elfrid Payton, who will be a restricted free agent. But with that being said, there's got to be a fear in Orlando, maybe a tepid fear, when you look around the association and you see guys like Victor Oladipo, Tobias Harris, Mo Harkless, guys who've been cultivated in other markets and have become successful NBA players, and think to yourself, does it pay to be patient at this point, Philip?
Well, I mean, I think you can say to that extent, the Magic have been really impatient with everything that they've done over the last 2 years, really. It's not just a matter of their poor development of some of their own players. It's their belief that there's a timeline to these things and trying to skip ahead in the process when maybe the team wasn't ready. I mean, maybe the team wasn't ready for a coach like Scott Skiles, even though they won 35 games that year. It was their best season under this rebuild. Maybe the team really wasn't ready for a coach like him and the demands that he put on them, or maybe they needed another year with him and his resignation really set the team back because now you had to bring in a new voice, a new terminology. Not only that, then you also completely flipped over the roster. So there was no continuity at all. And so I think the Magic's problem has been a lack of patience, and you hope that, and obviously right now it's kind of a tricky spot because these aren't the players that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond assembled. These aren't the players that they picked. And so there's definitely a feeling of they got to go out and find the guys that they want that fit what they believe in and what they think a basketball team should be. If anything, the Magic need to have some patience right now. It sucks for fans. And I think Orlando's trying not to say rebuild and say that this is going to take another 3, maybe 4 years to get it back right. But the reality is it might take another 3 or 4 years to get this back right.
Yeah. And you mentioned maturation as something that the Magic desperately need. We're going to talk about some of the needs and wants of the Magic on this podcast. And they did try that with guys like DJ Augustin and Bismack Biyombo and Shelvin Mack and Jeff Green in previous years and some of those older veterans. And they just haven't managed to put it together with some of the young stars, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon. Talk about some of the needs going into the trade deadline. Should you guys jump in with both feet? Obviously, you're not going to get a lot of young players with talent. You might be able to get a first-round pick, but odds are in this day and age, unless you're parting with Aaron Gordon or Jonathan Isaac, you're not getting anything in the top 10. If the Magic should dive into these waters, are they just looking for cap relief?
You know, I think they're looking for a couple things, and it's not positional. I'm not going to sit here and say the Magic need a point guard, although they need a point guard. I'm not going to sit here and say the Magic, you know, need a center or they need X, Y, or Z. I think that they're, you know, you're the worst team in the league. You need everything. The only thing that I think I would steer a little clear from is starting power forward and starting small forward, because essentially that's where you think Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Isaac are going to be. And this is kind of the same approach I have to the draft. You just get the best players you can, and you can fit roles and figure it out later. Excuse me. With the Magic right now, I think they need to go after players that fit the vision that they want to fulfill. They need to find players that are their part of their future. And the big thing on top of that is just clearing some cap room. They need to turn over this rotation, this core. The players that aren't part of their future, they need to make not part of their future anymore. They need to spin those players over. The players that they need to bring players in that will be part of their future. And so it's really, this is all about foundation laying. I mean, I think I've told fans this a million times when they ask me, you know, how long is this going to take? The Magic need to do something. I can't believe the season's gone so poorly. I'm like, look, this is year zero of a rebuild. You can't think of it as anything else, because new management hasn't gotten its fingerprints on this team yet. They literally could not do anything with the roster that they had because of the contracts that were handed out. And so they got to start flipping over some of these contracts. They got to start flipping over this core. And Jeff Weltman needs to get his fingerprints on this team. And once he does, then we can begin evaluating, okay, this is maybe how long it's going to take, or this is where the Magic are at. And, you know, I'm someone that, you know, if I'm looking for a silver lining, I think that there is a little bit of a silver lining in the way Aaron Gordon has played, and Jonathan Isaac's a nice prospect, and then you got a high draft pick coming this year. But what's really important now is to set yourself up for the future and lay down those foundations to make next year a more productive one.
Philip, we want the Magic to unload at this point just because it's sexy, it's exciting, it creates news and it creates interest, that sort of thing. So with that being said, obviously Fournier is the guy who comes up in conversations the most, but it's a big contract. It's going to be difficult to move. It's somebody taking on years of salary. How sincere do you think the interest is in Evan Fournier around the NBA?
I think there is definitely interest in Evan Fournier, because I think a lot of teams know that there is not a lot. There's not a lot of salary. I mean, I think the Magic know this too, but there's not a lot of teams with cap room this summer. And so essentially, if there's a team that's looking to make a big splash or a move that they think can take them from maybe solid playoff team to, you know, maybe contender, or from a fringe playoff team to a solid playoff team, maybe they're willing to take the risk on Evan Fournier and give something up, because it doesn't seem like the Magic are asking for a ton if you have an expiring that you want to get rid of. And that could be a way to upgrade your roster and kind of keep up with the Joneses. I mean, we've seen what the league has done in free agency, and this year is probably going to be a little bit quieter on the free agency front. Having said that, I also think that the Magic are in a position of power here. And you know, this is something I've thought about a lot over the last few days and really weeks. The Magic aren't in any rush to make a deal with Evan Fournier. He's got, 2 years left on his deal, 3 years left on his deal after this one. I think it's clear they want to kind of move on from him or start flipping over some of those core pieces. But they don't have to do it now. There's urgency because the Magic need to make change, but the deadline isn't the finish line for the Magic. If they don't find a deal that they like for Evan Fournier, I'm sure Fournier is a very productive player. I'm sure they'd be happy to keep him to the to the draft or into the summer, where all these same rules apply, where teams are probably going to be looking for, I need this last piece to get me over the top. I couldn't find it in free agency. Here's someone who's available in a trade. Let's see if we can make something work. The same rules, the same conversations as the Magic are having today about Evan Fournier, they can probably still have them in June and July. And so I think that the Magic are listening. I think that they're active. I think that they're looking. And with Evan Fournier specifically, I think that they probably are receiving a lot of interest because he's still a very productive player. He's averaging, 17 points per game, shooting a hair worse than 40% from beyond the arc. He's a very productive player. But if the Magic don't get what they want, they don't have to do anything. There's no rush to trade him. And so I think that could help spur some offers if a team's really desperate for him, or it could mean that the better offers are yet to come.
I had to look it up myself. It's a 2+1 with a third year being a player option. So 3 years, $41 million remaining unless he chooses to opt out. Obviously, he's the splashy player for the Magic that could move. I don't think anybody anticipates Aaron Gordon's going to go anywhere. That would just be a complete and total rebuild on the part of John Hammond and Jeff Wiltman. But there are some interesting pieces. Like you said, a lot of teams are tied up salary cap wise, and the Magic could provide a bit of relief for guys in the bodies of Mario Hezonja, who's expiring. He's going to be unrestricted. Shelvin Mack, who only has $1 million guaranteed next year. DJ Augustin, who just has 1 year, I think it's $7.5 million or something. He could provide some scoring for a team who needs that coming off the bench. And then Elfrid Payton, who's restricted, but if a team doesn't want to bring him back, of course, they have that option. Do you think the Magic could manage anything by just sending out cash?
I think it's possible. I kind of see a lot of those guys as kind of enhancement. I just don't see the Magic trying to take on more salary, because their problem right now is a lack of flexibility. I mean, I kind of joked about it. I didn't joke about it yesterday, but I pointed it out as a point of fact that the Magic are the worst team and have the worst record in the league and have no players in the Rising Stars Challenge. So if you're a bad team like the Magic and you don't have a player in the Rising Stars Challenge and you don't have cap room, you don't have a lot of hope to sell to your fan base or to your team that you're going to get much better other than your draft pick that's coming up. So that's not a good position to be in for the Magic. And so I think that while I think Shelvin Mack, Elfrid Payton, Mario Hezonja, those are nice contracts to have. And I'm sure they'll get some interest, and I'm sure Elfrid Payton will get at least a little bit of interest. And I actually think Hezonja is probably the most likely player to get traded off the Magic at the trade deadline. I think that the Magic really aren't in a position to trade out cash essentially to bring in another big name player, another big salary player. I mean, the report that's going around now that the Magic are looking for maybe a guy on a rookie scale deal, that makes sense to me. But I don't see the Magic, say, packaging Shelvin Mack and Elfrid Payton to bring in an $11 million a year player. I just don't think that's in the cards. And I don't think that's what the Magic want to do. They want to kind of start clearing their books, try to bring in a little bit more youth, maybe a cheap veteran, and then figure things out next summer.
You mentioned this a couple of times, basically about the you know, the Magic not wanting to take on long-term salary. And it's too bad to hear you, because I know the Pelicans would be happy to send you Alexis Ajinsson, a second-round pick for any combination of Shelvin Mack or Mario Hezonja, that sort of thing. But I do have to ask you, just because it's exciting, about Kemba Walker. You mentioned that the Magic are in desperate need of a playmaker at that position. And obviously, the Charlotte Hornets would want you to take back some bad salary, probably in the mold of a Nicholas Batum or a Marvin Williams. And you have the parts to do it. You've got the expiring salary, and you know, maybe you could give Bismack Biyombo in exchange for Batum, Kemba Walker, and I don't know who's another $10 million a year player, maybe a Terrence Ross or something like that, or Nikola Vucevic. How interested would you be in going all in on Kemba Walker?
If I get rid of Bismack Biyombo's contract, I probably am really interested, because you know, I think that's kind of the golden goose, honestly. If you're willing to take Bismack Biyombo's, I mean, no offense to Bismack Biyombo. I mean, he's a great, great dude, plays hard, but, you know, his contract is an albatross. If you're willing to take Bismack Biyombo's contract, my ears are going to perk up, and I'm going to listen to you very, very carefully. And if you're going to give me a player like Kemba Walker without having me give up Aaron Gordon, that's obviously an opportunity I jump at. What I think... The sense that I've gotten from Jeff Weltman and his reign so far, or from his statements that he's made about the trade deadline, is that he doesn't really have kind of a fixed and set plan. He doesn't really, I don't feel like he believes, no, we've kind of more in a way that I felt like Rob Hennigan sometimes believed, that we have to stick to this plan. You know, we're going to lose, you know, we're going to lose this year. We're going to be bad this year and get that draft pick, and we're going to get the top draft pick. I felt like one of the problems with Rob Hennigan was he just lacked a lot of flexibility. And when ownership finally got on him, it you know, that's when the whole thing fell apart, because he just didn't have the flexibility when his plan went wrong, when his first plans didn't work. And so I get the sense with Jeff Weltman that he's not going down that route. He wants to stay open to everything. So if the Hornets did call about Kemba Walker, they'd listen. Because this is still a franchise that's missed the playoffs for the last 5 years. And Kemba Walker is a proven all-star. You put the right group around him, he's proven he can get you to the playoffs. Whether he can get you any further than that, that's another question. That's up to the general manager and the president of basketball operations to build a roster that, you know, Walker hasn't played with in Charlotte to this point. No offense to Charlotte. I love everything that they've done, but they've really struggled to kind of get that second guy to run with Walker, you know, through the draft or through free agency. So if you have to take on a, you know, I'm not 100% sure the Magic are the best team to make that deal with Charlotte. Number one, I'm not sure what Charlotte is looking for in a trade for Kemba Walker. Are they looking for a budding young star? Are they looking for another all-star? Are they looking for a high draft pick? Are they looking for just cap relief? Are they just going to salary dump him? I just don't see the Magic as a great trade partner, because they don't have the salary cap room to just absorb him in another big deal. And I really don't think that they have the expirings to really kind of make things work on an equitable basis for Charlotte, depending on what Charlotte's goals are. I mean, if the Magic can get involved in a deal like that, I think they would absolutely jump at it and be very interested. By all indications, answering, I guess, one of your questions earlier, by all indications, the Magic won't trade Aaron Gordon unless it's for an all-star, and Kemba Walker is an all-star. The question on Charlotte's end is, are they ready to pay Aaron Gordon, even though he's an expiring contract? And that's a question I'm not sure they'd be ready to answer right now.
Thank you so much. And now I'm looking at the take. And if they're not willing to take Bismack Biyombo, it probably takes some combination of Evan Fournier, Vucevic, and Terrence Ross, plus a first-round pick for Kemba and either Nicholas Batum or Marvin Williams, whichever one is more palatable for you, probably Marvin Williams. But that's going to do it for now. Thank you so much. Again, this is Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic and the site editor of OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Before I let you go, let's just take some predictions. How active do you think the Magic will actually be at the trade deadline, which is coming up on February 8th?
I think that... Ooh, putting me on the spot here. I haven't really thought this far ahead, because usually for the trade deadline, I just plan to go to the gym, and my only prediction is a trade will happen while I'm at the gym. You know, I think the Magic will trade Mario Hezonja at least. I think they'll find someone to take on Hezonja. In all likelihood, I'm going to go ahead and say that Elfrid Payton and Mario Hezonja get traded together for some young young point guard who's maybe struggled a little bit in his first stop, wherever he is. I don't know what team that would be. I don't know where it would work, but the player the Magic get back would be a rookie who hasn't quite lived up to the hype. And that would be what the Magic do at this trade deadline. And then at the draft and in the summer is when we see the Magic do a lot of their heavy lifting.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody in the mold of like a Trey Burke or Dante Exum or Malik Beasley, something like that.
Like Malachi Richardson was someone that they talked about at the beginning of the season with Mario Hezonja. So
yeah, and he was just mentioned to be on the block if other teams are interested. Some other names.
I know Sacramento's looking to clear a roster spot too. So
definitely, because they've got a part with George Hill. Apparently, they're at the 1 yard line with the Cavs and Miritich, Rodney Hood, Kevin Love, Dame Lillard, Damari Carroll, Jordan Clarkson, DeAndre Jordan. Some of the other popular names that are part of trade chatter right now. But like I said, it seems like this is going to be a quieter year. But you never know. Thank you so much again, Philip. Is there anything you'd like to plug before I let you go?
No, not much going on. I'll be writing about the trade deadline here as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. I'll do my annual trade rankings column the week before the deadline. So we're getting to crunch time here.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. Again, you guys, if you haven't subscribed already, make sure you do to the Bird Calls. We've got an episode this morning with Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets talking about the upcoming, probably the most highly anticipated matchup of the year against the Pelicans tomorrow night, Friday night at the Smoothie King Center. It's going to be nationally televised. The Pels have won 7-9. So, and the Rockets are 19-0 with their big three. So it's going to be an engaging matchup. And we also had Ali Cosell in his return today with Kevin Berrios, just recapping some of the week's events and previewing the stuff upcoming. So make sure you check that out as well. Again, this is Philip Rossman Reich. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Let's go, Pels. All right, what's up, guys? Here is part two of our Trade-a-Palooza. First, we had Philip Rossman Reich, and now we have Josh Bowe of Mavs Moneyball. What's going on, Josh?
Nothing much. How are you doing over there?
I'm good, man. I'm over in Orlando. It's very nice weather. It's nice and breezy. My Pelicans are 8-3 in the month of January, so things are looking up for our boys. And we've got a trade deadline coming up, so it's very exciting. On Bleacher Report, the Mavericks were listed as one of the number one teams out of five that could be very heavily involved. What do you have to say to that, Josh?
I think it's because they got a lot of cap space to work with. Not a lot of teams have some cap space, so they could, if they wanted to, they could make it very interesting. They could take in some contracts. They could trade out some veterans that they don't really need right now. So they can kind of go in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, here's the exact quote. The Dallas Mavericks are open for business and willing to rent out some of their possible $13.5 million in cap space to add some young pieces or draft picks to their rebuild plan. The Mavericks also have a slew of ending contracts. I've never heard them called ending. Usually they're called expiring, including Josh McRoberts at 6, Devin Harris 4.4, and Seth Curry at 3. And of course, there's big man Nerlens Noel is also an expiring contract. However, he has veto rights, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I'm going on and on. This is all about Josh. By the way, Josh, tell them where they can find you. Is it at Bowman55?
Yes, sir. That's me on Twitter.
Yes. Okay. The Mavs are 16-32. They've largely been out of the spotlight this year, other than Dennis Smith Jr. falling to them in the draft and JJ Barea calling John Wall unpopular last week, which was pretty funny. There just hasn't been a whole lot out of Dallas, but we know that Wesley Matthews is on the block, according to Mark Stein, if a team is willing to part with a first. And like I said, Nerlens Noel could be a get for somebody who wants to take a chance on him. I'm not including his hot dog performance at halftime a few months ago. I'm sure you guys got a lot of grief for that. Did you anticipate in the offseason things going this far south this season?
Honestly, I knew it was a possibility. I figured if it was going to go this far south, it would be different. I didn't expect the Seth Curry injury kind of came out of nowhere, so I wasn't expecting that to hit them pretty hard. He hasn't played all year, and honestly, it didn't look like he's going to play at all this year. The injury updates have been really vague and kind of ominous, and he's been dealing, and it's an injury he dealt with back at Duke in his college days, so that was a huge hit. Even in my most, as Mavs fans will know, I'm very pessimistic about the Nerlens Noel situation. Even in my most pessimistic fantasies, I never imagined that Noel would be not just a non-factor, but not really even part of the team, like just getting completely benched. So those two things kind of threw me off, and I thought, you know, maybe they might be a little bit more competitive than they were last year, but still be a lottery team, but maybe be, you know, like a 10th or 11th or 12th pick. Instead, I didn't, you know, I didn't really expect them to see them, you know, in a top four pick range at this point of the year. Just considering that, you know, I thought they did a good job acquiring some young talent in Seth and Noel, and those two have literally had no impact on this season at all.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. And if you wouldn't mind divulging a bit more information about that Nerlens Noel trade, because it is a bit peculiar. They didn't give up a whole lot to get him. I remember it was a protected first round pick in exchange for a wing player. I want to say it was Justin Anderson, but yeah. Peculiar in that he's managed to play his way so far out of Rick Carlisle's favor that he's getting DNPs all season long. And the Mavericks refused to trade him. Although, like I mentioned, he has a veto on his own trade rights, being that it was part of the bird rights and that he signed a qualifying offer. So they're going to lose him for inherently nothing. And they're not even giving him an opportunity to prove himself. Talk about that situation a little bit more.
Yeah, it was really weird from the start, from the negotiations, because when he got traded over here, it was pretty great. Donnie Nelson, the Mavs GM, called him a Tyson Chandler starter kit, which was totally accurate considering his skill set and considering how Carlisle likes to use mobile bigs in his offense to be, you know, a rim runner that can kind of create spacing for his perimeter guys by rolling down the lane and attracting defenders. And from when he was traded to the end of the year, that kind of all bore out. He was great. He was one of the best players on the team from the point he was traded to the Mavs till the end of the year. You know, he was one of the few Mavs that had a positive net rating in that time. And when you consider, you know, they finished with the 9th overall pick, that's saying something. When he was on the floor, he made an impact. He made the team better. He did all the things that we kind of thought that he could do, being a rim runner, being a rim protector, being a guy that can switch out to smaller guys on the perimeter and kind of be a do-all defender in that way. So it looked great. It kind of felt like it was really going to work out. And then the offseason comes around and everyone kind of assumed that some other team was going to throw him a max offer sheet and then that Dallas would kind of respond, and no one did. You know, the cap space kind of dried up. Teams kind of realized they didn't really need a big man like Noel, even though I think he could kind of fit in anywhere because he's so athletic and has such potential to be kind of a two-way player in terms of, you know, being a rim runner, being a guy that can switch on defense. But a lot of teams kind of already have money sunk into bigs, into centers. So the market was really dry for him. The Mavs kind of made their offer at midnight, the 4-for-70 deal. He kind of, I feel rightfully, was like, you know, I'm going to see if someone's going to give me that max offer sheet. I'm going to wait it out. And the Mavs didn't like that. And then Noel didn't like the Mavs not coming back with more money. And they kind of had a stalemate. And I guess that immediately rubbed the Mavs the wrong way, because after that, the next thing we hear about Noel after he signed the qualifying offer is the first day, media day, you know, before they even have their first practice, Carlisle saying Noel's going to come off the bench. And this is coming after Carlisle saying when Noel was traded, you know, we traded for a future starter. Like he said, that's on the record. So it just got icy from the negotiations. And it seems like both sides had their fair share to blame. You know, the Mavs kind of were a stickler with them. Didn't really offer a lot of room for negotiation. And then Noel, to his credit, or I guess to his, you know, detriment, he didn't really respond well. He, in the limited minutes he's had this year before he got benched and then before he had this thumb surgery, you know, he was a non-factor. He had a really good opening night game coming off the bench, but then he didn't close it for some reason. And ever since then, he was downhill. But you know, the Mavs didn't do themselves any favors. You know, player development's kind of a two-way street. The stories come out about his work ethic and he doesn't work hard in practice. And it's like, well, why? The Mavericks knew this about him. And this wasn't a problem last year after he got traded. He played very well for them. So it was kind of like, why aren't the Mavs getting more out of him? You know, there's certainly some blame to go on Noel for not responding maybe better. But the Mavs kind of have a hand in this too, in the way they kind of set the situation up. And then not being able to kind of get more out of Noel in practice and then, you know, and working out and his work ethic.
Yeah, it's too bad because you guys have Max Kleber starting at that four position. You'd have to think Noel would be an upgrade there, and putting Kleber on the bench would probably benefit both parties. But it is what it is. You guys are at the trade deadline, and you've got a lot of flexibility, as we already mentioned. And you've got needs across the board, at least on the depth chart aside, and no telling how much time Dirk Nowitzki wants to keep playing. So talk about some of the things you anticipate the Mavericks needing or exploring while approaching this deadline.
Okay, they definitely, the biggest need on the team is they need wings. I know that's kind of like everyone, you know, especially, you know, the Pelicans. I know covering the Pelicans, following the Pelicans, you know that very well. You know, just teams around the league need wings, but the Mavs desperately need it. Outside of Harrison Barnes, who plays mostly four for them, they really don't have another player that's like a true wing player. You know, Wesley Matthews kind of plays the three, but, you know, he's about 6'5". And outside of that, they got a bunch of point guards that are between 5'11 and 6'2 or 6'3. And then they got a bunch of bigs that are between 6'10 and, you know, 7 foot. And then they don't have a lot of perimeter, a lot of length and a lot of height on the perimeter to make up for it, which is kind of where the league's going. And it's kind of crazy when you see the lineups they throw out there. You know, they're playing two 5'11 point guards and a 6'3 point, and then a 6'3 point guard at the three and Barnes at the four and a, and then Dwight Powell, who's like 6'10 at the five, and it's small ball, but it's too small ball. You know, they need some size on the perimeter desperately just to balance out the roster a little bit, to get guys guarding similarly sized players so they're not so overwhelmed there. So that's what I would kind of look at in terms of position of need. In terms of what they're trying to look to do at the trade deadline, it's really interesting because they still haven't really embraced that this is like a rebuilding year, so to speak. You know, when you talk to Carlisle, when you talk to Cuban, when you talk to Dirk, when you talk to Wes Matthews, they still kind of talk about like, you know, we needed to kind of turn around to try to make a run out of this. And even though they're the fourth worst team in the league right now, so they haven't really accepted that this is like a lost year yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they want to trade away some of those veterans. You know, they really love having Wes Matthews around the locker room. They love having Devin Harris and JJ Barea as mentors for Yogi Ferrell and Dennis Smith Jr. So the rubber is going to have to meet the road here because the schedule's getting harder for them. And by the time the trade deadline rolls around, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. And it's unclear right now if they're ready, if they're truly willing to part with the veterans that they love so much.
Yeah, that there was a Mark Stein report today that they'd be willing to part with Wesley Matthews with for a first round pick, something I talked about little bit earlier. And the Mavericks, like we said, they've got a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of names being floated around. I can't imagine how things would be at this point if DeAndre Jordan were a Maverick. You guys wouldn't have this cap space. You'd probably have won a bit more games, probably be somewhere around that 5-9 zone that everybody seems to be clumped in at this point. Just a different world altogether. You've got some other names that are floating around, like the Mavs are said to be interested in Julius Randle. There's Jordan Clarkson, Damari Carroll. Damian Lillard was said to be dissatisfied with the direction of the franchise. Kevin Love, Rodney Hood, Meritich, George Hill. Kemba Walker is somebody who's been floated around, but they do want a first-round pick, and they do want to offload salary. And guess what? The Mavericks are capable of doing that. It would probably take Dennis Smith plus a cap filler. But the Mavs are going to be the subject, if not directly for these players, facilitating in a three-team swap, a place to just – dump off some salary, but you also are equipped with your own first round pick, and it's bound to be a valuable one. Right now you guys are sitting at number four, I believe. Are the Mavericks willing to part with that pick in aims of possibly pursuing one of these veterans that are on the trade market right now?
I would say as of right now, no, just because the names out there are not kind of the franchise altering names. I think, you know, Kemba's a really good player, but I don't think the Mavs are going to give up a top five pick for him, especially when they've already got Dennis Smith Jr. and they kind of feel he's their guy for the future, you know. And then a player that they might think about that is DeMarcus Cousins, but he, you know, New Orleans gave up not nearly as good a pick as the Mavericks gave up, as the Mavericks would give up to get DeMarcus in New Orleans. And he's going to be a free agent this year, so they're probably going to try to wait out the year and make a pitch to him with their cap space and see what happens. So I think it's very, you know, slim, unless, you know, something crazy happens and there's a chance that like a really like a top, you know, 10 or 15, you know, top 10 or 15 player is available, then, you know, maybe they would, but they seem pretty relaxed right now and just kind of holding the fort and just kind of seeing where things go. I think they are more interested in taking on some cap space with a sweetener, such as taking on someone's big contract or, you know, not great contract and then getting a first round pick back. I think that's more the direction they're probably looking to go in.
All right, Josh, good stuff. By the way, the All-Star teams were just announced in case you haven't seen, and LeBron James, I'll just go through the starters. He took Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Cousins, so definitely going to be a big lineup with everybody being 6'8 or taller, with the exception of Kyrie Irving, and that being a story in itself that Kyrie Irving is on the squad with LeBron James. Steph Curry took James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, which a lot of people anticipated, and then paired them with DeMar DeRozan and Joel Embiid, so definitely going to be exciting. This was a new and fresh way of doing the All-Star game, and definitely at least spark some interest, even if the game ends up being the same boring old thing. But we'll see if we can't get some more juicy interest out of this, these team captains type thing, and see if we can find out who was the last player taken at some point. Josh, let's get to some predictions. Like you said, there's just a ton of possibilities. You guys are equipped with your lottery selection. You've got so much salary that you can offload. You've got space to take somebody back. Do you anticipate the Mavericks getting involved, and what would you think they might do?
I think the story of Mark Stein about trading West for a first rounder, I think that's kind of a little disingenuous, just because I don't know if teams are going to give up a first rounder for Wes, especially with how teams are very hoarding of their first round picks now. So I think the more likely scenario, if the Mavericks do jump in and make some type of splash, I think it'll be some sort of taking on a salary and then trying to get a second round or maybe like a late first rounder. For instance, I could see them taking back some of Cleveland's unwanted contracts because they need to get out of some cap hell there, but maybe getting Cleveland's own first round pick, which will be somewhere in the 20 range, you would imagine. That kind of move I could see them making. Maybe a smaller move. For instance, the Kings have some players that they need to get rid of to facilitate a potential George Hill trade. So maybe they would take in a King second rounder and taking one of those kind of end of the roster guys that they want, and maybe go somewhere like that. To be honest, I would not be surprised if they ended up not making really any move and holding the fort, as crazy that sounds, just because they really do like the idea of having Barea and Harris and Wes and those veterans to surround Smith with. They really like that idea, as much as that would kind of pain me to see them not take advantage of kind of the opportunities that they have here. For me personally, like a fun, realistic move, I would love to see them get in the Rodney Hood sweepstakes there. That's the perfect kind of player that they need right now, the right age, the right size, a bigger perimeter guy that has a good offensive game. I would love to see if they could kind of work with the Jazz there and do something there, as the Jazz are kind of falling out of it and they're looking to rebuild as well.
Yeah, there's only a couple of teams this offseason that do have available cap space, and none of them are real big winners. The big headliners of that group being the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Dallas Mavericks will have themselves right in there with the competition for guys like LeBron, if he chooses to leave, DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul obviously probably isn't going anywhere, DeMarcus Cousins. There will be names available, and the Mavericks will have as good a shot as anybody else at getting them with young guys and Dennis Smith Jr. and Harrison Barnes, if they can continue their improvement. And who knows how much longer Dirk Nowitzki could play. He might be a sixth man at this point next season. But you guys have a lot of potential, a lot of possibility to do something going forward, and we'll certainly have our eye on our Southwest division foes over there. Josh Bow, thank you so much for your time. Again, you guys can follow him at Bowman55 and follow all of his work at Mavs Moneyball. Josh, is there anything you'd like to plug before we let you go?
I would just say... For a team that like the Mavs that are in a really odd place where they are not very good, you know, one of the bottom four teams in the league, and then there's not a lot of interesting things going on because they've got so many over 30 players playing, you know, Dennis is great and Harrison Barnes is fun, but outside of that, there's not a lot of spark there. So there's kind of, they're kind of a boring bad team, so to speak. I guess I would just say plug the fact that, you know, our staff has done a really good job of coming up with story ideas and creating a lot of cool things to check out. So I'd say even though the Mavs might not be the most interesting team in the league, we're still putting out a lot of good stuff.
Well, best wishes to you guys and the guys at Mavs Moneyball. You guys have always been really nice to us. And best of wishes this offseason. The Mavs will certainly be somebody to keep an eye on, not just because of all of their flexibility, but also because you got Mark Cuban as an owner, one of the more interesting guys in the league, somebody who's always outspoken and even involves himself in a couple of the television celebrity limelight type circles like Shark Tank. So best wishes to you, Josh. Thanks for joining us again. I'm Preston Else. We might have a part three. We might not. Chris Manning of Locked On Cavaliers is said to be circling these waters at some point. We'll see if we can't nail him down. If not, I'm Preston Else. Don't forget to subscribe. We've got a preview of the Rockets with Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets. That was this morning, as well as a recap of the Hornets matchup with Ollie and Kevin, as well as previewing some of the events coming up this week, like the matchup against the Clippers on Sunday. Again, I'm Preston Ellis. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back soon. Let's go, Pels. Hey, what's up, guys? The All-Star units have been announced. It is out now. LeBron has selected Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Cousins. That's right. Our two big guys are on the same team as LeBron James, somebody who is rumored to be interested or at least excited about the possibility of someday playing with DeMarcus Cousins. It was mentioned on Dan Levitard's show today that that he is an admirer of Boogie, and of course, whenever Boogie put up that great stat line of 44, 24, 10, and 4 in 51 and a half minutes, LeBron James reached out to him via Twitter saying, sheesh, man, crazy stat line. So that'll be exciting to have those three together, as well as Kevin Durant. What a large lineup. Everybody's standing at 6'8 or taller. And on Team Steph, we've got Steph Curry and James Harden, no shocker there, as well as Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, and Joel Embiid. So you'd have to think at that point that maybe LeBron won the first round of this draft, being paired with Kyrie Irving, a story in itself, Davis, Durant, and Cousins. As far as the reserves, LeBron's got Bradley Beal, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, and John Wall. And Steph is slated with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, his two buddies, Jimmy Butler, Dame Lillard, Al Horford, Kyle Lowry, and Karl Anthony Towns. So the big exciting thing there, obviously, is LeBron taking his buddy Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Cousins. That'll be the story. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's not for another 3.5 weeks, so hopefully they'll have some time to practice and perfect their game. And maybe Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins can coddle up to LeBron and talk about a trip to New Orleans this offseason. You know, crazier things have happened. All right, you guys, for now, this is Preston Ellis. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon. Let's go, Pels. You have been listening to The Bird Calls. Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, do us one more favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate our podcast today.